folks say. If it don't work, it don't work. If it does work, it does work. Well, if I keep my finger out of it, maybe it'll work. Okay. Let's get rid of this thing. So let me tell you this. I've been doing the deep dive on covenant again. And I want to tell you, we talked about it. What does covenant mean? Everything that he has is ours. And everything that we have is his. Now here's the thing. It's just like any other formula. It doesn't work halfway. And what would happen is when people made covenant with one another, back in the days when this was what they did, they actually made covenant. And what would happen is they would make promises and they would make vows. And then after that, they would do curses. And the curses was what would happen if you didn't follow the covenant. And they spoke those things. How many of you know that God did not walk out on nothing and just think the world into existence? What did he do? He spoke it. You're going to find out that I'm very careful about what I say. I'll be around somebody and I'll say, well, you know, this is gone. I say, no, I ain't saying that. Nope. You know why? Because what you say has power. It is the rudder of the ship that you happen to be riding on. So watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Okay? So, there's this thing that happened in the Bible. Okay, I wrote down the deal here. How many of y'all ever read, the Bible? Yeah. It's got some stuff in it. It's got a lot of words in it. It's got some stories. It's also God breathed. That's what the word inspired means. It means God breathed. I don't keep it in a special box. I'm marking it, but here's the deal. The spirit behind these words is amazing, isn't it? Amen. Okay. So, there's this guy named David in the Bible. You may know him as King David, but he wasn't always a king. I've been doing this series, it seems like it's the never-ending story, at least to the people who have to hear it every week or next door. But it's the series, it's called Path to the Palace. And during this series that I've been doing, guys, I have done this deep dive on what it takes to become the man or the woman that God's called you to be. And a minute ago, when I was showing out a little bit, and I said, if you want something different, you've got to do something different. Is that right? Okay. Well, I want to tell you that Jonathan is the heir to the throne at this time. Saul is the king. He's lost his mind. Okay? King Saul has lost his mind. And it's following people that's lost their mind sometimes is a little bit disheartening, isn't it? Okay? So, but the thing about it is that David refused to put his hand to Saul. So he is trying his very hardest to be obedient to God. But this guy named Jonathan, who is the heir to the throne, who is the son of Saul, who should become king. He should become king. By the way, the laws worked back then, back in those days. But he recognizes the anointing on David. Now, when you look up the name David, you can do this at home with your, you guys got Gaggle on your phone. Is it Gaggle? Something like that. Yeah, Gaggle. But anyway, if you gaggle David and the meaning of it, it'll say beloved. So in this story, David represents the beloved. And Jonathan, the word Jonathan, the name Jonathan means God has given. In David's life, he was chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. Guess what? So are you. That's what the Word of God says. So are you. So are you. You are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to be here tonight. Yeah. to follow him. And you say, well, I have really screwed it up. Well, Merry Christmas. Join the club. Okay, we all have. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Some sins cost more, but the fact is that we've all sinned and come short. So Saul is trying to kill David. Because I want to tell you something, the enemy always tries to kill the anointing. Did you know that? He tries to kill it with pride. He tries to kill it with fear. He tries to get, what's everybody going to think? What's everybody going to think? They already think. Give them something to talk about. Okay? I mean, the bottom line is this, guys. He is trying to kill David, and Jonathan is trying to help him. And during that time, what they did is this they made this decision. He says, come, let us go out to the field. So both of us, this is 1 Samuel chapter 20. God has gone out the field, so both of them went out to the field. And Jonathan said to David, the Lord Israel is to witness when I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow, the third day. Indeed, there's good toward David. I do not send you. I'll send you and tell you. But if he's going to do something bad to you, I'm going to send you and tell you. Okay. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow's the new moon. And they're making a deal, had a plan together. But this is what happened. They made this covenant. He said, I want you to be good to my family. Do you promise to be good to my family? Because see what happened in those days, when a new king came in, he killed all the heirs. So that would mean Jonathan's children, Jonathan's grandchildren, he'd kill, you know, that's what would happen. And David said, absolutely. And he said, you've helped me, I'm going to help you. We're going to make this covenant. And as they made that promise. So you've got the beloved making a covenant with a gift that God has given him. Can y'all see that? Well, I want to tell you what happens. We're going to have to fast forward or this will be really long. Okay. But you know that David then is chased out of the kingdom by Saul. He hides in caves. He struggles. He has all this. At one point, the Amalekites come and take everything he has at a place called Ziklag. They take everything. His own men are thinking about killing him. I mean, it's years and years of struggle and years of this shaping of, you know, and I don't know if you've heard me tell this story or not, but a friend of mine made a knife. I have the knife. He made a knife. And I asked him, I said, tell me how do you make a knife? What? He said, yeah, I made it. He took a piece of steel and then he beats it. He beats it and then he sticks it in the fire. Can you imagine if that knife could speak? What? Why are you beating on me? Have you ever looked and said, God, what? If some of you know my story, I've told it. I stood on the back porch and said, God, I wouldn't do that to my kid. I wouldn't do this to my kid. But I want to tell you. Then he puts it either in water, the knife, either in water or oil, which some knives have to have oil, and then they take it out, and then they stick it back in the fire. And then they beat on it again. And then they grind on it. And then they shape it. And then they polish it. And then they drill holes in it so you can put a handle on it. Can you imagine that knife going, why are you drilling a hole in me? I mean, but the what's happening is he's becoming the man or woman that God can use as an instrument of his grace to this world. Are you ready for that anointing? The reason that I can talk about this anointing is because I went through the beating. I went through the fire. I went through the drilling. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm on the other side of that. And now I understand that God made me the man that could stop at Blues, Blacks, and Barbecue and talk to anybody there, dress them how they're talking. Who cares? I mean, go to the jail and talk. It doesn't matter if I'm talking to rich people, poor people. You know, I don't check pedigree. You know, he said, hey, I need somebody to do that. And guess what? The world needs you. This region that I've been praying over for the last 25 years, this region, this 100-mile region we call the Ozarks, needs you to be the man or woman to stand up and be what God's called you to be. So this last half of this, okay, and here's what happened. So David is put in his king. Saul dies. He's the king. And he's sitting there and he remembers the promise that he has made. He remembers it. And I want to tell you that he's sitting there thinking, and he asks somebody, is any of Jonathan's kinfolks or any of Saul's kinfolks still alive? Are any of them still alive? And a servant named Ziba comes up and says, yeah, Mephibosheth. Don't ask me to spell that, but I practiced enough, I can kind of say it. Mephibosheth. Okay. And here's what the word Mephibosheth means, the name. Watch this. The removal of shame. His name means the removal of shame. And when Mephibosheth was a little boy, he was royalty. And they were being conquered by another country. And his nurse, not because she was mad at him, to save his life, okay, jerked him up and ran and dropped him and broke both legs. And now he was crippled in both legs because of nothing he did, okay? He's crippled, now he's grown, and he lives in a place called Lodabar. And you know what Lodabar means in the Hebrew? It means a dry and wasted place. So he was born royalty. You know, if anybody had air conditioning, it was royalty, right? If anybody had a Cadillac. I mean, you know, it would be royalty. Or a Rinkin Continental, whatever. Okay, you know, it would be royalty, but it was taken from him because, and here's the deal. We lived in a garden of perfection. And somebody that you've never met made a choice, and God created us to be royalty, but that was because of sin entered into the world, and now you see what a mess the world's in, right? Okay. But let me tell you something. This is where, that's the bad part, but let me tell you where it gets good. So what's this? He's sitting there one day. He's crippled. He can't walk like he's supposed to walk. Okay. Anybody in here ever fall, stumble? Anybody in here? Okay, that's two of you. All right. You notice I raise my hand for everything. Okay, because that's true. All right. But here's, I'm pretty good as long as y'all are watching. So, but the point being is this, guys, okay? And he's sitting there in this dry and lonely place, and these soldiers come riding up out front, and it wouldn't be like one or two. They're on the king's business. And he's thinking, oh, Lord, David's having me killed because I'm a grandson of Saul. I'm a son of Jonathan. And they say, no, say, no, you can ride in our wagon. We'll take you back with us. And he's thinking, oh, he's going to take me there and kill me. He's going to kill me in front of the court. But instead, they take him to Jerusalem, which means the place of peace. How many of you want to go to the place of peace? The only way you're going to get there is by the covenant. Because sin stripped us of our royalty. But the good news is there's been a covenant made. We'll get there in a minute. Whew, maybe an hour. Okay. So, but the point is this. So he shows up and he walks in and he says, why am I here? I'm just a dead dog. He literally uses those words. I'm no good to anybody. I'm a dead dog. And most commentators think that he thinks he's about to die. And he's hoping that since he sees he's crippled and he's not any threat to him, but he was trying to save his life. But guess what? David says, you will eat at my table every day. You will be a member of my court. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Jonathan, the covenant that I made with Jonathan. Can you see that? And he's in there every day, walking around, crippled, going and eating the best food, living the best life now, okay? Because of something his daddy did. And I want to tell you, that's what covenant is. He's calling you to walk in the best life you have now because of something your daddy did. Your heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son that whoever believed would live forever with him in eternal life. Is that something you can live with? I literally was studying this recently and stopped and said these words. God, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. And I kind of, in my mind, thought of it like this. How many of y'all ever played the lottery? Don't lie. You know you have. Raise your hand. How many of you ever played the lottery? Okay. All right. Anybody here ever won the lottery? You did?
No.
You won the lottery? I need to talk to you about a donation to the church. Okay. Anyway. Okay. You know. Sewing machines or something. I forgot what we're talking about. Okay. But here's the deal. I want you to imagine you have a choice. You can pick between what I'm telling you tonight and the winning ticket of whatever the lottery is at now. Okay? I'm going to tell you, I would pick what I'm telling you tonight. And the reason is, because, say it's $1 million. Before long, you'd have a nice car. Before long, you'd have this. But I'm going to tell you something. It would not affect your eternity. But what I'm talking about tonight affects your life now and affects you forever and the people that come after you and the people that God uses you in their life. And that's what I'm talking about. It's worth more than the winning lottery ticket. It is worth more than that. It's worth more than silver. It's worth more than gold. It's worth more than all that. And you say, well, God, Bruce, why is the world in such a mess? Because we're here. Okay? I mean, if it hadn't been Adam and Eve, if it had been Bruce and Kim, I'd have messed it up. There's not a doubt in my mind. So, here's the deal, guys. There was this thing called the Passover. This is the last point, maybe. Okay. So, that's why I got a skinny piece of paper. Okay. Because usually I preach in series and, I just have to quit and start back next week. But watch this, guys. Watch this. So there's this thing called Passover. You've got all of these people who are in captivity. They are in captivity. They are having to work. They're having to build bricks without straw. They have to gather their own straw. They're building. They're in Egypt. They're in captivity. They're miserable. They're crying out to God. Even the ones that don't even really know God, they're crying out to anything, just help me, help me, help me. They're in Egypt. They're sold into slavery. Okay, now what's this? And they said plagues against Egypt. And finally, the final plague, he told the Jewish people, the Israelites, they said, you have to kill a lamb and take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost. And then you go in the house and you cook the lamb. And if it's so much lamb that you can't eat it all, get your neighbors in your house with you to eat with you. Make sure you consume the whole lamb. Because you can't be halfway. You can't take Jesus halfway. You can't take Jesus halfway. Okay? And I want to tell you something. They did that, and then the death angel came, and anyone in the house with the blood on the doorpost lived. And everybody else, the firstborn of every family died as a sign of what God was doing. Do you understand that? Now let me tell you what happened. Many years later. Okay, they left. They left Egypt the next day with the riches of Egypt. They left there, and God had provision. He guided them. He told them where to go. He gave them provision. Remember the manna, all those things. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. I mean, you know, I've been wearing my boots for 30, so anyway. But the point being is that, well, I've had several bottoms on, but you get the point. But anyway, the point being is this. That was a picture. Now I'm going to tell you the real story. That's a picture. That happened, but that was called a type and a shadow of something that happened many years later. Jesus is celebrating the Passover on the night that he was betrayed. On the night that he was betrayed. Okay? He took the wine in his cup. And he said, this is my blood. He took that bread, broke that, and said, this is my body. And said, we are celebrating the new covenant. There's that word. The new covenant. I want to tell you, go back to the picture. Are you in the house tonight? Yeah, I mean, you're in here or you wouldn't be hearing me, okay? But are you in the house with the blood on the doorpost? Because I'm going to tell you, if you are, then it's time that we start living like it and we consume Jesus completely and become the men and women he's called us to be. And as we do that, guess what? There's provision. There's provision. There's direction. There's protection. There's all of those things. And I want to tell you, this is not a name it and claim it, you know, give me 20 bucks and it'll turn into 21. That's not the sermon, okay? What I'm talking about is you surrendering and giving your life to him. The first step is to believe, receive, and accept his salvation. But I want to tell you something. He wants you to get in the house, not just for eternity, but for now, because God has a plan for your life. And I want to tell you, from one redneck to another, I'm just telling you, it never looks like you thought it would. I had this whole thing figured out, okay? It wasn't that complicated, okay? But that's not the way it worked, okay? That's not the way it worked. So I am going to do something a little bit different tonight. And Dwayne, yeah. I want you to come and take the lid off of that box and put it out here on your table. Take the lid off of that box. You see that box in the corner? Take the lid off of it and take it. No, not the lid, the box, sorry. Put it on your, and if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to come by and take one of those out of there and then go back to your chair. There's something in that box that you need. If you've not received Christ, I do not recommend that you take this. Okay. just when you get it, just hold it in your hand and go back and sit at your table a minute. Because I want to tell you something. What we are celebrating, Dwayne, would you bring me one of those? Thank you, buddy. What everyone has picked up is what I call communion in a cup, okay? Pre-packed for your safety and convenience, okay? We started doing this during COVID. We started going to, is anybody else? Okay. So, guys, I want to tell you that for the first 400 years of the church, I want you to think about this. For the first 400 years after Jesus established, after Acts 2:4, what they would do is meet in homes, meet in courtyards, meet in places, and they would eat and remember that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So if you'll tear back that top layer and hold that in your hand for a minute, the little cracker, just hold it in your hand. Father, I thank you so much, God, that you died for me, that I can have life and have it for eternity with you in eating at your table, Lord, as a covenant son of yours, Lord, not because of anything I've done, but because of what you did on that cross. Your body was beaten and torn, Lord, until you were not recognizable, Lord. And I thank you for going through that and taking on the sin of the world, and especially, Lord, my sin. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And we celebrate that tonight, Lord. Not celebrate your pain, but, Lord, we celebrate the truth and the reality of covenant, Lord, that we have eternity to walk with you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to live in the house with the blood on the doorpost, God. And we celebrate that tonight. If you'll break that cracker in your hand, just the broken body of Christ, and let's eat that together. Thank you, Jesus. You peel back that next. The second layer is a complicated one. Okay. Father, your word said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Lord, you found a man called Abraham that was willing to walk up Moriah with his son, Lord. Walk up there with fire in his hand and knife, Lord, and with knowing that he was taking his son and laid him down and pulled the knife back, Lord, and essentially in his mind gave his son to you. And Lord, you made that covenant, Lord, that you would give your son for us. And through the Jesus Christ, Lord, the immaculate conception, the virgin birth, the perfect life, you created the perfect lamb, Lord, so that I can live with you forever. Lord, we celebrate that tonight, Lord, the covenant that we live in you. Thank you for giving your only begotten son that I can live with you forever. Let's drink together and celebrate that fact. The next step we will not do tonight, so relax. After Jesus did that, he then got a basin and got a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who was there when the world was spoken to existence, washed his disciples' feet. And guys, I want to tell you, that's the last thing, that's the example. We're not going to wash feet, relax. Okay. But that's the example, that we serve one another, putting ourselves last instead of putting ourselves first. And guys, I want to leave you with that, because the reason that I do some of the things I do is for you, and you being everyone else. The reason I don't do some of the things that I don't do is for you. And you go, why? Because it's not all about me, although I may think it is at times. It's about the body of Christ. So make choices that feed the reality of you being part of the body. Not one time did I ever take a hammer and just start beating on my hand with it. My brother earlier was talking about, if somebody falls, make sure you reach out to them. Guys, I'm gonna tell you something. If I've got this old skin is a little bit thinner than it used to be, and if I punch a hole in it, I put a Band-Aid on it, because you know it's connected to me. Does that make sense? So be servants to one another. And guys, I'm going to go off. I'm online. I'm going to go off here for a minute, and we're going to pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.